Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
You're listening to Rabot & Co. here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Louis Rabot.
All right, let's get back into it here. Monday edition of the show here, Rabot & Co. ESPN 680, 105.7. Get you through the week, 2 hours at a time. Bobby V after us, roundtable, 3 o'clock today, taking you up until 6 o'clock. Reds Phillies after that, first pitch around 6:30. Pregame starts at 6:10 here on 680, 105.7. Zach is eating chicken, so I'm going to keep talking. I promised in the show promo that we would start getting into some of these horses ahead of the Kentucky Derby, so let's go ahead and start doing that here. I'm picking random horses based on where they are in the point standings, so we will go from a more highly ranked contender, if you will, as far as the points are concerned, and then go ahead and move down the track here. So we were doing the 1st, 5th, 9th, 13th, and 17th ranked horses today. The 1st, of course, is Sierra Leone. He just won recently in the Bluegrass at Keeneland. And so, of course, in a comeback style on a day, frankly, when horses were not making moves from off the pace. I was down there that day, my buddy David, and it was one of those days where we really thought a horse like Just a Touch out of the Cox Barn, another horse that we'll talk about as the week goes on as another Derby starter, really had the running style, really had the, you know, all of the setup for this kind of race and this kind of win, and it simply just didn't matter. So Just a Touch, just off the pace, excuse me, for most of the race, ran right off the leader, who was Top Connor in that race, had the early pace there, finished sixth eventually. But Sierra Leone goes back-to-back with two wins, including that win in the Bluegrass from off the pace. Now, one of the things to always think about in the Kentucky Derby, because we have 20 horses or, you know, 19 or 18, something like that, in the field, is that you do have a difficult time if you are a deep, deep closer to make the run from the very back of the pack. So in a race with 10 horses, Sierra Leone spent much of that race in ninth position. Okay. Then moved to seventh, but then moved into fourth. And I thought that this race, Zach, was a clear attempt by the connections to try to get this horse to learn how to run mid-pack rather than in deep-pack. Because in the Derby, that usually means you got to pass 14 or 15 horses to win. But if you can run mid-pack and only have to pass 7 or 8, which is still a huge ask, at least then you're in that spot. Can he win the Derby? The answer is, of course. Is it going to be difficult from off the pace? The answer is also, of course. But one of the biggest misnomers about the Kentucky Derby is that there won't be any rabbits. You hear this a lot. Oh, no one's going to go try to chase the pace. Well, I have good news. There's several horses that are going to try to be on the lead of this thing, including the favorite. Fierceness is going to try to be either the pace setter or just sitting right off the pace. And so you're going to have pace to run at. And if you think jockeys aren't people too, they are. You think they don't get jittery, they do. And we always think there won't be a big pace to run at. There's obviously going to be pace to run at. Therefore, Sierra Leone, local ownership connections, of course, has a legitimate shot when we get, gosh, to about, what, 12 days from now? Unbelievable. When we get to 12 days from now. Let's talk about resilience. He is in the fifth spot in the point standings for the Kentucky Derby. Connections there, of course, trainer Bill Mott and John Velasquez. By the way, for Sierra Leone, I assume that Tyler Gaffelione is going to get the mount there. For Chad Brown, he has 155 points. And so we go down to resilience. He won the Wood Memorial under John Velasquez. And he has trainer Bill Mott, of course. Bill Mott, probably the beneficiary of the most famous disqualification in Derby history, on track at least, when they took down Maximum Security. Country House jumps up. That was his trainee, and that gives Belmont a win in the Derby, of course. Has the Wood Memorial winner this year. They flew in John Velasquez to ride that day. This horse did run in the Risen Star fourth, behind, of course, the aforementioned Sierra Leone. And before that, broke his maiden at Gulfstream Park. So he's won at Gulfstream. He's won at Aqueduct. And here's what I'll say about winning the Wood Memorial this year. So that race usually, and historically, Zach, has now been a great predictor of who will not win the Kentucky Derby. Fusaichi Pegasus, famously the last winner out of that race in 2000. Now, those are meant to be broken because, frankly, I just talked up Sierra Leone. He was in the Bluegrass. We haven't had a Bluegrass winner win the Derby since 1991. But no one thinks because of that that we can't get Sierra Leone to win that race. By the way, both Fierceness and Sierra Leone on the ground at Churchill Downs. So that's good. Fierceness got here this morning about 6-7 hours ago. But he wins the Wood Memorial. And the reason it feels different to me this year, if you wanted to use the Wood Memorial winner as part of your equation for the Kentucky Derby, whether it be a winner or an exact or trifecta, some kind of play like that, is that we watched Dornoch and Sierra Leone come out of the Remsen in December. And frankly, the seventh place horse in that was Domestic Product. He went on to win the Tampa Bay Derby. You have three horses who ran in that race alone that are now going to be in the Kentucky Derby field. So could it be that that Remsen is actually going to give us a good finisher out of the Wood as well? I'm not sure. But if it's going to be any year, it'll be this year. For some reason, the track makeup at Aqueduct has traveled well to other tracks. Horses coming out of there have run well other places, whether it be in Florida, whether it be in New Orleans, whether it be in Arkansas. Horses have come out of there and run well. Why couldn't it be in Louisville? I think it could. If you wanted to make a case for resilience, that's what you do. He's also a son of Into Mischief. And Into Mischiefs are very, very capable of getting 10 furlongs, getting the mile and a quarter distance, the classic distance here at Churchill Downs for the Kentucky Derby. As well, we'll go down to that ninth spot, a horse that we just mentioned in Just a Touch, trained by Brad Cox, local connections here, with Florent Giroux, the likely rider of Just a Touch. Just a Touch, of course, ran second in the Bluegrass after running second in the Gotham in March. Broke his maiden in January, didn't run until his three-year-old year. That used to be a death knell as far as your chances in the Kentucky Derby. Of course, Justify, a classic example now. Get a start, get a prep, get the Santa Anita Derby, get in the field and win the Derby, and then win the Triple Crown. I'm not saying at all that that's what we're going to try to do with Just a Touch, but if you wanted to make his case, he wins on first asking at Fairgrounds. He figured it out right away. And then twice since then, he's run in stakes company, graded company, frankly, immediately into a grade three, run second. Immediately into a grade one after that, run second again. And if we think Sierra Leone is some kind of world beater of a horse, if this horse improves running into the Kentucky Derby, why can't he be part of the equation at the end? Do we think Brad Cox is never going to cross the line into Derby again? I think he will. We had him on the Kentucky Racing Spotlight a couple weeks ago, and he even admitted himself. It's nice to have Mandaloon's name up there, but he wants to be there and stand in the winner's circle, be there when his horse finishes first on Derby Day. Could Just a Touch be that horse? Of course he could. Son of Justify, of course. Tap it on the mom's side. The breeding all makes sense. He's just a young horse. But we kind of said the same thing about his dad. He's only got three starts coming in. Now, his dad's starts were a little more impressive than this. But again, finished the second in that Bluegrass, second in that Gotham. He can be one of those horses that absolutely jumps up and wins. Now, a man I saw on Friday trains Honor Marie. So at Whit Beckman, another Louisville-based trainer. Jockey Ben Curtis has been riding this one. Comes in with no wins this year, which is kind of interesting. Ran second in the Louisiana Derby at the end of March. So they've been holding him out since then, that six-week time off, coming back into this one. Ran 5 weeks before that, fifth in the Risen Star. He won the Kentucky Jockey Club at Churchill Downs in November, a really, really fine winner of that race. By the way, the past winners of that race include Instant Coffee and Smile Happy. Keep Me in Mind, Silver Prospector, Signalman, Enticed McCracken, El Kabir, and Tapiture. Jamologist won this race. So a lot. Super Saver, of course, won the Jockey Club Stakes. And a couple of years ago, it was the predictor of success. Classic Causeway came out of that race. oh my gosh, White Abario came out of that race, right? Behind Smile Happy. So once in a while, that could be a great predictor of success as well, because the winner of that race get back to his good form at Churchill Downs. Because remember, he won that race at Churchill in November. Before that, broke his maiden, ran second against winners the first time out in October. So this is a horse, when he's at Churchill, runs his best. Is Honorary currently 13th in the point standings? Is that the kind of horse that could jump up and win as well in the Kentucky Derby? I'm not sure, but the Son of Honor Code, Smart Strike on the mare side, that's the kind of breeding that does make sense for 10 furlongs, and I think could be absolutely fine in 12 days. The last one is Society Man, and this is a horse I don't know a ton about. But because of the point system, all you got to do is run well once. And you can even run well in a prep that hasn't been great for a long time. And if you run second, you get a spot in the starting gate. And Society Man is just that for Danny Gargan. Luis Rivera has been riding. We'll see who ends up getting the mount in the Kentucky Derby. My guess is, unfortunately, for Luis, not Luis Gargan. Luis Rivera, excuse me. But he does run second in that Wooden Memorial after breaking his maiden the race before that in March. They tried him in the Withers in February, actually, and then brought him back to maiden special weight company after that. So clearly they've thought something about this horse for a while. Now, he's on the ground at Churchill Downs, of course. He breezed the other day, looked just fine doing it. Frankly, his time was a little fast, given the other horses that went. He was 16th out of 123 horses, so a nice job there. Almost in the top 10% there of all horses working on Saturday. So they've got him down there. They got him on the ground. Son of Good Magic. We watched him run really well in the Derby, obviously, at Churchill Downs. And so interested to see if Society Man could be one of those horses that jumps up and is, you know, part of a superfecta, something like that. He won't be part of my tickets, but it is one of those horses that makes the Derby the Derby. You get 20 of them, and eventually a horse like Society Man qualifies, and it's just it is what it is as far as his spots in filling out the field that way. Has already earned $185,000 this year. How about that? Fantastic. So there you go. Zach, so there you go. There's your random five horses for the day. Sierra Leone, Resilience, Just a Touch, Honor Marie, and Society Man. I would say that out of those that are going to be longer odds, that'll be, you know, 15-1 or longer, I think that Just a Touch that I just mentioned is probably the best play out of those. But I'm fascinated by Honor Marie, because horses that go away from a track for so long and then come back to a place where they've had success, sometimes it just clicks again for them. They remember a place, you know, the surface feels right, whatever it might be. So maybe it is Honor Marie out of that group. That ends up stealing a piece of the pie when we get to Derby Day. So there you go. I'll be posting today at First Gen Sports my annual Kentucky Derby cheat sheet. So it has all of the Derby horses, all of their equibase links, and then all of the major preps that they've run in previously. So you don't have to do any sorting or looking around or Googling or anything like that. It just tells you the horse, all the connections, all the equibase stuff, and all the workouts. I'll make sure to post that on Twitter today and at First Gen Sports, 1stgensports.com today. So it's a nice, easy cheat sheet. I'll make sure I get that up online today. Like I said, Reds Phillies tonight, 6 o'clock here on 680 1057. We'll have that series against Philadelphia ready for you all week. This week as well. What else do I want to get into right now? I don't know that there's a short segment here that I want to get into, but oh, okay. You know what? Actually, I don't want to spend. I got called out for doing that the other day. Spring ball is in the books for Louisville now. And the offense came out on top, 45-37 against the defense. The score, of course, means nothing in these games, Zach. But nothing about any of the headlines, any of the things that I read or got to see, you know, highlights of, that sort of thing, that essentially Brahm has said all spring they've been banged up, and then those who are on the sideline were sort of expected, and then who got the majority of the reps of the first team was also mostly who was expected. So there wasn't any real surprises here. Of course, the big talk, you know, the Toledo transfer, is he going, is he staying, is he getting good advice, is he getting bad advice? Brahm was pretty clearly upset about talking about that last Thursday when he was in with Diener, so that's a whole thing. But he has noted several times how banged up they were. It was the offense who won the spring game, but frankly, everyone that I talked to thought the defense looked better overall.
Yep.
And so that's the good thing too, because if we remember, one of the reasons they started 10-1, Zach, was because the defense had so many good games last year.
That's right.
Right? And surprising you know, turnover-filled, laden games where they really put it together, figured it out. So, you know, if their defensive side of the – if they can keep it up on that side of the ball with Ron English and those guys over there, sky's the limit, frankly.
Yeah.
It really is. Sky's the limit because in the ACC, you can win a lot of games. With their non-con, you know, it's manageable. Kentucky's been a bugaboo for sure. And, it, you know, but
– especially if Tyler Shook stays healthy, and he looked really good, by the way. 9 for 12, 177 yards, 2 touchdowns.
Yep.
He's clearly quarterback one going into the season. No doubt about it.
I think Quincy Riley made the play of the day.
Yes, he did.
On the interception. So that has to give you some, you know, if he's reading plays and watching, don't know what to do, that's a good side too. But
Chris Bell really stood out.
Yeah, that's receiver. A good one. Yep. Yep.
Quincy Riley was great.
Chris Hughes might be one of those guys that gets a scholarship, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Or maybe they figure out an NIL deal where he can stay, that kind of thing.
He's not going to be a walk-on much longer.
You would think. Or someone noticed a spring game. We're not going to see him around here anymore.
Yeah
right. So
he'll be on scholarship, whether it's here or somewhere else.
That's exactly right. So be interesting to watch that. But
these games are always catered toward the offense winning. The spring game typically
it tends
is.
To be.
So you look at the score and you think, man, those guys can't play any defense. No, watch the overall game.
Yeah.
The Louisville defense was all over the place.
Yeah. And Matt McGavick writes in his SI.com spot here, the Louisville report, that he was looking for depth in the secondary. They did not disappoint. Of course, Riley looked great. As expected, Devin Neal continues to look like an All-ACC. Marcus Washington appears to make some progress. And then a walk-on, Jaden Minkins, should have had interception as well. So just if they could be solid on the defensive end of the ball, I'd never worry about the offense. Because last year was the ultimate confirmation that, you know, I go back to that coin flip thing just because I thought it was such an interesting anecdote with Jeff Brohm. But really, last year was confirmation that if he needs to run his offense a very specific way, he'll just do it.
Yeah.
So Isaac Garendo ran a bunch of plays last year where it looked like Wisconsin's offense. But they freaking work, so who cares, right? Like, that's really the key here. And so watching him, you know, be amenable to those sorts of things was really, I'm sure if you're a fan, it was really positive, and I don't expect anything terribly different this year. All right, take a quick break here. We'll come back on the other end. Some rankings for college football that I want to get into. I promise Zach football at once an hour until Thursday for sure. And then I'm sure Friday morning we'll react to all of that. I'm going to be out at Jay Shepherd tomorrow for the show, 10 to noon. They're on Bardstown Road. Come say hi. We'll hang out for a little bit afternoon as well over there at Jay Shepherd Cigars. Get that Casa Pastor cigar for free with any purchase when you mention us over there. We'll see you over there tomorrow. Two more segments to go. How about that? Get you into Bobby V here on Rabot Co. ESPN 680, 105.7.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
Rabot & Co. here on ESPN 680 105.7. Now, here's Louis Rabot.
All right, let's get back into it here. Monday edition of the show, Rabot & Co. ESPN 680 105.7. Hanging out with Zach Cantrell. Do want to thank our friends over at the Kentucky HBPA, KYHBPA.com, for presenting our Derby rankings, our Derby preview, if you will. In the previous segment, of course, we went over Sierra Leone, Resilience, Just a Touch, Honor Marie, and Society Man. If you ever miss part of the show, head back to the podcast center, ESPNLouisville.com, or on the app. You can catch any of our programming, no matter how off the wall it might be. might have Zach Cantrell talking offensive line play with the University of Louisville saved on ESPNLouisville.com. So there you go. I thought these were kind of fun lists over at ESPN.com. These are, frankly, I've had these on the show sheet for 2 weeks. Are you ready to get into these, Zach? Zach Cantrell is excited.
Always.
These are the top rankings for next season. One of the things that's always very difficult this time of year is predicting who's going to be on what team.
Nowadays, yeah.
Because transfer portal's open, spring practices are happening, people are realizing they might not be on the first team, and so their names may be going back into the portal. But let's go ahead and talk top coaches in the game. So obviously, Harbaugh is off to the NFL, so he is unavailable for rankings. Where would you have ranked him if he had come back for next season?
Harbaugh?
Yes.
Fourth or fifth.
Okay, behind?
Kirby. Kirby's number one.
Okay.
I think Kyle Whittingham does a really good job out at Utah with what they've got talent-wise. I'd have Harbaugh ahead of Dabo by now. Dabo has not been good for a couple years.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Third, then?
Yeah.
You have him ahead of Kalen DeBoer right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
We beat Kalen DeBoer in the national title game, and Kalen DeBoer hasn't coached a game in Alabama. So, yeah.
Okay. So, on the ESPN list, they have Kirby Smart number one. I think we all kind of agree with that.
Yeah.
Kirby has done the thing that it was starting to feel like would never happen, Zach, which was Georgia rising to the level of prominence that it should have.
Right.
Right? It's not a could, it's a should with Georgia.
With what they've got in that
Way
state.
Way too many dudes running around playing football that are very good. The academic standards, what they are. The fan base caring as much as they do, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
The talent walking around in Athens, Georgia as well.
If the 12th team playoff happened early, we'd probably be talking about them as three-time defending national champs. Because I think they would have won it last year.
They were pretty good at the end of the year.
They lost Alabama in the SEC title game, but
they were
the best team.
I know. God. One game, man.
They won 29 straight, lost one game, and were out of the playoffs.
I know. It's amazing to think about.
No, he's number one. It's not close.
I agree.
He's taking the Saban role, where you start the list, and then you go.
He is there. They have Kalen DeBoer number two. 37-9 career record, 14-1, obviously, last year as they get to the final. Quote, all DeBoer does is win. Now he takes over for Nick Saban, who set an unrealistic bar for what can be accomplished. What's a good first three seasons for Kalen DeBoer at Alabama, Zach?
Well, with what they're doing, you make the playoff three times, obviously.
In 12-team, I agree.
Yeah, and maybe you win a couple games, or I don't want to put it all on him and say he has to win a championship in his first 3 years to be successful, but that's the standard that Alabama has reached.
Are we going to get to a point where making the Final Four in football feels like it does in basketball?
For certain programs.
Right?
I think for
Alabama, no.
Utah or somebody like that, it would be a big deal. For Alabama, for Georgia, for Ohio State, no. That's kind of where your season begins.
Where do you have Mike Norvell ranked? They have him fifth.
I think that's about right.
People are really high on him. How high can they go in the ACC as far as national scene? Can they win it all?
Florida State?
Yes.
Absolutely, they could win it all. They got a top five class coming in. That's a team that went 13-1 last year. Yeah, they can win it all.
Yeah, quote, how best to quantify Norvell's greatness as a coach, perhaps it's his use of the transfer portal. While some of the many other coaches have moaned and complained about the portal for years, Norvell has found the perfect formula for using it. Finding standouts such as Trey Benson, Jermaine Johnson, Keon Coleman, and Jared Verse amongst a host of others, or perhaps it's the way he motivates his players, builds a strong internal culture despite the extensive use of the portal. This is the thing about him. He's sort of the Scott Drew of college football right now, right? Where he's Scott Drew before the championship for sure, but he's using transfers. He's able to bring guys in, have them buy in quickly,
yep,
right, and do that. And he's super young.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, he's going to be there for a while.
He's going to be there if he wants to be, right? Yep. I mean, if he wants to be, he will be. Dan Lanning at sixth.
Yeah.
And I skipped over Kyle Whittingham and Dabo Swinney, and so many people agree with you about Kyle Whittingham that they have him third on this list, and they went 8-5 last year.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's a sort of a stunning thing.
Utah's not exactly a hotbed of recruiting.
Apparently. Dabo fourth, then they have Norvell fifth. Dan Lanning sixth. Steve Sarkisian, 7th. Lane Kiffin, 8th. Lance Leopold from Kansas at 9th. And your boy Ryan Day at 10th. Here are the other coaches getting votes. And this made me smile. Brian Kelly. Lincoln Riley. Kirk Ferentz. Luke Fickell. Drinkwitz, Mac Brown, Mike Gundy. He's a man.
Yes, he is.
Jonathan Smith, Deion Sanders, Kurt Cignetti, Chris Kleeman, and John Summerall. Who are the names that you notice are not on this list?
I mean,
Sherrod Moore's not on the list.
Jeff Brom's not on the list.
Sherrod Moore didn't get a vote.
No, Jeff Brom didn't get a vote. That's
Jeff
surprising.
Jeff Brom didn't get a vote.
Mark Stoops certainly didn't get a vote.
I mean, okay, let's do this real quick.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's leave the top 10 where it is.
Oh, I would flip some things in the top 10. But let's keep it as it is.
Okay. Oh, I understand. But let's say the top 10 is the top 10.
Sure.
Okay? And Lance Leipold, like, whatever. You can feel however you want about him.
I'm a big fan of Lance Leipold.
Right. Would you have Brahm ahead of Brian Kelly? I would not.
I wouldn't.
Would you have him ahead of Lincoln Riley? I wouldn't, but it's a lot closer than for me than I think people think.
I'm not a big Lincoln Riley guy.
I'm not either. Okay. All right. Kirk
but no,
Ferentz.
I'd probably still have him.
I would too. Kirk Ferentz.
I'd take Brahm. Kirk Ferentz still runs offense like it's 1945.
I think at this point, moving forward, I'd rather have Jeff Brahm.
No,
I agree.
No doubt.
Luke Fickell at Wisconsin. This one's harder.
A year ago, I would have said no. Now I would say yes.
To whom?
I would pick Brahm.
Okay.
That first year at Wisconsin didn't go the way that a lot of people expected.
I agree. I remember when he took that job and everyone told me what a great fit it was. And my brain said, I don't know why it's not going to be a great fit.
Yeah.
I don't know why. My half empty brain clicked on for that one. I'm not sure why.
There are a lot of jobs he could have had, and I was surprised that that's the one he decided to go to.
It's a good job.
It's a good job. Not a great job. But he could have had a great job.
He probably could have. I'm going to go cake bake on that one. I'm 50-50 on that
one.
I hate to do that, but I'm very 50-50 on that one. Drinkwitz at Missouri. I think he's really good, man. And I think...
They broke out last year.
And with... He's what we were sold that Satterfield could be.
Correct.
That's what he is. Plus, the state of Missouri, with all their NIL stuff, is actually setting them up to be good.
Yep.
That's a big difference, too. So I'm interested in him. Would I rather have... Is Jeff Brahm good at Mizzou? Sure. Boy, that's another 50-50. Who would you rather have?
I would probably take Drinkwitz.
Okay.
51-49.
Yeah, okay, I'm right there too. Mac Brown at North Carolina, I'm taking Brahm 73 times.
I'm taking Brahm now.
Okay. Gundy at Oklahoma State is very close. I might take Gundy for the next 5 years.
I'd take Gundy.
Okay. Jonathan Smith at Michigan State, obviously they're going on his Oregon State.
Correct.
Stuff.
So, to be determined.
I agree. That's a 50-50 for me too. I agree. Deion Sanders at Colorado.
Brahm.
I agree. Here's a tough one. Cignetti at Indiana.
I can't tell. I don't know how Cignetti's going to do. Nobody succeeds at Indiana.
I like him.
Yeah.
I don't know that it's going to work at Indiana. I think Cignetti would have Pat Kelsey vibes at Louisville.
I think that's about right.
Right? Like
he's already trying
it.
To sell
He's trying
Indiana
to do it
people.
In Indiana.
Sure he is.
Good luck with that.
Not happening.
The people show up to tailgate. If he could just get the tailgaters to go to the games, they're going to be in okay shape. I'll tell you that. That much I know.
Yeah, but they're going to go 4-8.
Chris Kleeman.
Brahm.
Is it close?
Yeah.
Because Kleeman can coach, right?
Yeah, he won a Big 12 championship just a couple years ago.
That guy can coach. And then Summerall at Tulane. That's actually an interesting one. He seems really happy there because that's another guy that could get a better job.
He's just got hired at Tulane. Didn't Tulane's coach just...
Oh, Summerall's the brand new one. I'm sorry, you're right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Summerall came from Troy?
Yeah.
North Texas?
Something like that.
Has all the UK connections. I'll take Brahm there. Who left Tulane then? Where did he go? Why am I forgetting that?
I know, I'm blanking.
Are we both blanking?
I think so.
All right, so let's go back through the top 10. We've got a couple minutes here. Would you have Dan Lanning 6th in your rankings?
No.
Is Ryan Day too low at 10?
Yes.
Where should he be?
Ryan Day should probably be 7.
Okay, so who's 6th then?
Sark.
Sark, I agree. Sark's better than Dan Lanning right now. I agree with that. Where's Lane Kiffin? Is he in the top 10 for you?
Yes.
Okay. Lance Leipold, is he in the top 10 for you?
Yes.
Okay, so this is a good list then in your mind, actually.
Brian Kelly is the one that you can make an argument for that should be in the top 10.
Okay, so swap out Dan Lanning for him, that kind of thing, or...
I think I would.
Okay. Would you have Dabo in your top 10?
Barely.
Because he's top four in this list.
Yeah, that's way too high, considering what's happened the last few years.
That is a very much a...
That's a legacy ranking.
It is a legacy ranking. I agree with you. It's what I was worried about with Louisville getting beat over the head the last couple of games in football, was that they would get the legacy ranking, which would not be in their favor. They didn't get that. I was totally... Where Louis was wrong. I was totally wrong about that.
I don't think I would have Dabo in the top 10. He's not adapting to the transfer portal. He's not adapting to the modern times, and Clemson's going to continue to sled.
Although the transfer portal NIL era...
Willie Fritz, Tulane coach.
Where is he now?
He is the head coach at Houston.
That's what it was. He took the Big 12 job. That's right. By the way, that's a very... I don't know if people know this, but when Hurricane Katrina hit, the city of Houston added like half of Louisiana's residents.
That's right.
So those two sounds are actually inextricably connected now. Although the transfer portal NIL era has brought more challenges, Swinney has won 9 or more games in all but one full season as Clemson's head coach. It is a remarkable run. That last year we thought of it as a crap year and they went 9-4.
Yeah.
I mean, that's when you know you're doing the damn thing. I mean, the same thing for Ohio State. We were like, wow, they were down last year 11-2.
11-2. Yeah. That's down.
Ryan when you Day, lose to 56-8.
Yep.
Incredible. You know, man.
Yeah, but how many of those losses have been to Michigan, and how many of those losses have been to top 10 teams? All but one.
That's how it goes. The Lou Groza winner from Miami has committed to Alabama. He will be kicking there. And, of course, Colorado has landed Deion Hayes out of Pitt. Was a defensive end. Will head to Colorado as well. For next season. So a list you largely agree with. How about
mostly,
that?
Mostly, yes. That?
At least the names, right?
Yeah, the names are fine.
How, you know, it's, you know who I can't figure out, and it's totally just personal bias, because I know this about myself. Lane Kiffin, I can't tell how good of a coach he really is.
I mean, they went 11-2 and won the Peach Bowl last year. He helped Alabama win a national championship.
I know.
He's a very good coach.
He's a very good coach. I'm sorry, I have been bad about the text line. Let me get into it now. Texter Penix is really talented, but has a big injury history affecting his NBA draft. I agree with that. Texter, I don't know why, but the gif of Brady turning around in the chair always and smiling always makes me laugh. Yeah, we were talking about that text. Texter, any thoughts on the jockey change for catalytic? Oh, we will get there. Texter, listen to Sweetie driving through Indy. He was all over the Pacers. Good. Good. Garbage.
This has to be said, by the way. We did a top 10 best coaches list. Beth Haven coach did not even get a vote. He didn't get a vote.
These ESPN.com bums.
Trash.
Get out of
here. Terrible. We said we largely agreed with the list. No, this list
Never
is full
mind.
Of bums.
Withdrawn.
Terrible.
Oh, man. Texter, Dewey, Louis, do you have any Derby tickets I can exchange for one cigar? Texter. Scott Satterfield, number one on that list, I assume. Texter, mark my words, Deion Sanders will be one of the larger busts of the decade. It's setting up that way.
It really is.
It is setting up that way. Texter, Louis, Mark Gandolfo is cussing you for not having the Stoops statue in the top 10. That's right.
He didn't get a vote.
I brought it up partly for that reason, because it was one of those... It's interesting. I can't quite figure it out, Zach. The pollsters like Brom. That team is in the top 25 of everything.
Mm-hmm.
The pollsters like Brom. This group did not for coaches.
Right.
And that's an interesting thing. Now, we're also talking about, you know, even with like the other coaches getting votes, the top 20 guys. But if John Summerall's getting votes and Chris Kleeman's getting votes and Kurt Cignetti's getting votes, you would think Jeff Brom would get a vote.
You would, yeah. He's got to get a vote.
With what we get hit over the head with, oh, people outside this market love Stoops, then where the hell is he?
Yeah.
Then where the hell is he?
Apparently they don't.
I don't.
Our last season turned them off.
I'm just surprised. I know what Stoops means for Barnhart. It means a full stadium, and it means, you know, economic viability and all those things. I understand it. But I think that's what other people outside of the market are starting to see, too. He's hit the ceiling.
Yes.
He's hit the ceiling for what he can do. All right. We'll come back. Quick segment to close the show. Ben Roberts has got an article up about the next guys to commit to Kentucky. I'm interested in that. And then, of course, we will wrapped up. I didn't get too much pushback on the Patino and Cal thing, because I think largely my read of it is how people do feel. Want to remind you about our friends at Manscaped.com. Our promo is horse racing. All one word. Use caps if you can. 20% off your order. Free shipping no matter where you are. Manscaped.com. Get all cleaned up for Derby and look better. You can even look like Zach Cantrell, all cleaned up. Beautiful beard. I wouldn't have trimmed, but hey, here we are. Manscaped.com. Use our promo code HORSERACING. Get in with that. Who's next to play for Mark Pope? Talk about it next.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
Bo and Co. here on ESPN 680 1057. Now, here's Louis Rabeau.
All right, there we go. Linkin Park, why not? Welcome back in. Final segment on a Monday. Get you into the V Show at noon. And of course, roundtable 3 o'clock. Take you till 6 o'clock here on ESPN 680 1057. Got the Reds at 6, 10 today here on 680 1057. Tomorrow and Wednesday at the same time as well, playing the Phillies this week. Louisville baseball hosts Clemson this week. Took 2 out of 3. Tell you what, Zach. Hopefully they don't come down to the run differential for playoff purposes in the ACC, because our the old Louisville Cardinals win on Friday, win on Saturday. Run ruled yesterday.
Run
against
ruled.
Miami.
Yeah. When they lose big.
You know what? We're going to lose, and we're going to mean it, damn it. That's a Dan McDonald way.
We might as well get people home early if we're going to lose.
Get the hell out of here. Let's go home. Texter. Man, I've listened to the show since before Mike Pratt passed. Could you reset the origin of the Beth Haven coach bit? I honestly can't remember how that started. Okay. I don't know either, but when I think it – help me out, Zach. December, like when the rumors of Kenny Payne get dismissed, that's the first time someone just made a joke, right?
Correct.
I think that's it.
Yeah.
What are the running jokes on this show? So, behind the Moby Dick, of course, the Beth Haven coach. Obviously, how does this affect the Dallas Cowboys?
Yeah.
Those are our three runners right now? Is that what we're doing? Okay, all right, there you go. All right. This is pretty good. The Canes Reed, obviously.
Canes Reed, of course. That's
just,
tomorrow.
But that's just me.
That's why everybody that's tunes in.
Big numbers on Tuesday. Beautiful numbers.
Bigly. Bigly downloads.
Oh, man. That was stupid. You can go back to the podcast center if you missed my open about Patino and Cal in the heart of BBN. I'm convinced that neither has the heart of BBN at this point, frankly. Texter, Kentucky's wide receivers are transferring away from this. That's a great text. I don't think it's meant for this show, but that is. Yeah, I fill up gas next to that guy once a week, for sure. It is what it is. But this could be a big week as Mark Pope builds UK's roster. We talked about already, of course. Colin Chandler has committed, and Amari. Oh, gosh. Williams. Yep. I want to make sure I got it right. Amari Williams commits as well. From Drexel, 6'10 player out of the CAA, was the defensive player the last couple of years. They're looking in several different spots. So more than 20 of the top 50s in ESPN's transfer portal rankings are still uncommitted. So this
there
was
it is.
One
Should
of
the Cowboys
things.
Draft Dak's replacement?
Hey, what's up, buddy? Woo!
They listen to the show.
Has anyone carved out a better spot at that place than Orlovsky?
No.
Like, it's perfect, right?
Yeah.
He's totally figured out his role. He gets to have those ears, and no one crushes him for it. It's great.
No.
Look at him.
He gets to run out of the back of the end zone, his own end zone.
But 20 of the top 50s players in that transfer portal ranking are uncommitted at this point. And the reason I bring that up is because I think people at this point in the process start to freak out about who's available and who's not. And there's still Kentucky. It's still Kentucky. Now, it doesn't always have to be, but right now it still is. And frankly, the thing that they've been the best at the last couple of years is getting players.
Correct.
So hopefully that continues if you want the blue and white to be better. College players are allowed to enter the transfer portal, Ben Roberts writes, up until May 1st. They can commit to a new school at any time after that date, so patience is indeed in order as Pope continues to identify and recruit his first team. of Wildcats. Now, something I did appreciate talking about on Thursday was that it isn't... I was happy to hear from Ben, at least, that the standard for Mark Pope isn't like an over 500 season. It's win games in the tournament.
That's right.
I was happy to hear that from Ben Roberts, because what I... Man, I want to ask you, was I asked the question in the moment, and I'm glad I did, but was it an appropriate question to ask Ben Roberts if he had been sort of rejuvenated by a new hire?
Oh, no, that was fair.
Okay.
Yeah, because I think the fan base is. But, and if you're covering this team, why wouldn't you be?
Yeah, right. Boom. That kind
we
of thing.
We want to cover interesting teams.
Yes, correct. We're in the same space as other people is kind of what I was getting at with that question.
It's a little-known secret out there for everybody. We want to cover teams that win.
I will be clear. Not everyone in this business wants to cover winning teams. Some guys want to be negative.
Not these guys.
Not this show. Not us. Hell no.
No. We've been too negative. That's why we do positive radio.
Is that Brock Vandegrift?
Oh, you saw the picture finally?
There it is. Oh, my God.
I can't tell if he's a 55-year-old man in the South or an SEC starting quarterback.
God bless you.
Thank How
you
many guys at the gas station do you see look like him?
All of them.
Every guy.
He's at a gas station in this picture. That's a Speedway. That man's getting a Mountain Dew blast, Baja Blast. Right now.
Yeah,
that
guy. A couple Marlboros.
He's getting Swisher Sweets.
The Zen, he's getting dip. He's got the Zen can. You know he does.
I was at a dad-daughter dance on Friday, and a dad got out a Zen pack, and everyone was like, whoa. I was like,
well, hold on, dude.
That's what we're getting. We're getting weird about 2024. Is that, please? Oh, man. Any reports on Larson Pippen? No, I don't have any reports on Larson Pippen.
Well, his son just went
to
Michigan.
I know.
And Scotty looked real happy about it. He did not.
If they could get dudes into that school, Dusty May would be really good there. But he's going to find out it's not easy using the transfer portal in Michigan.
Well, he just got some guy from Ohio State to go there.
Okay.
No loyalty.
None. But here are some of the players that they are looking at for Kentucky. Obviously, Travis Perry is going to be there. So he will sign, obviously, Mr. Kentucky basketball. Mr. Basketball of the state of Kentucky, I should say. He was at Pope's introduction ceremony last week. They're looking at Great Osipor, who, by the way, we're already something that we haven't talked about on the show, and I need to be very transparent with the audience. I'm heartbroken that Boogie Fland won't be at UK. I want to cover guys named Boogie.
Yes.
They need to be at UK. That's what I need. That's what I want. He's not going there. I'm not okay with it. I'm still figuring out. Having a tough time, people. I expected a Boogie at Kentucky this year. I'm not getting a Boogie at Kentucky this year. I don't like it. I'm very uncomfortable with it. But a good option on the other side is Great Osipor. That is a hell of a name.
Yeah.
So if I can get a Great Osipor, I'm in. He's a Utah State player.
You missed your calling. You missed having Boogie by about a decade.
That's a trendsetter. I'm just on the coattails here, man. It is what it is. Great Osipor is a Utah State transfer, 6'8", 250. He's from England. Amari Williams, also English. Kind of an interesting thing here. Clearly, there's a cultural fit for what Mark Pope wants to do, and it's going to be these kinds of guys. Placed him fourth nationally in the most recent transfer portal rankings. He would be as good an addition as they could probably get. 17.5 and 9 rebounds with 3 assists last year for Utah State. Richie Saunders is another name that comes up. By the way, Great Osipor has got great hair, too. So I hate the guy. I mean, just fantastic.
Beautiful hair.
Man, just very jealous. Anyways, Richie Saunders is another one of these guys, 6'5", from Utah. Played 2 seasons at BYU, so he would be one of those guys where you bring him in, they know the system, they know what Pope wants. Those are the kinds of guys that make the transition a little bit easier. Now, John L. Davis is back out there. That was the player we were talking about that could not qualify with Dusty May up at Michigan academically. Now, I guess part of this is it's not grades, it's just number of credits over 4 years, and Michigan wouldn't take him essentially as a one-to-one sort of transfer. So Davis's decision is not expected to be imminent, but this week begins with major UK buzz surrounding his recruitment. Arkansas is also pursuing him. So there's the rub. Is it just a money thing for John L. Davis? Here's what I really don't understand. Why is that guy not in the draft in an all-time bum draft?
Oh, he should be.
Jonnell Davis should just go get drafted 40th, get a two-way contract, and be done with it. I'm a little surprised by that. Adu Thiro obviously still on the fence as well. Probably the only player from last year's team that could end up next year on the roster. Would you want Thiro back at UK next year, do you think?
Sure.
I do.
I would.
Okay, I agree.
He's got a role.
Yeah. No timetable for a decision. Considered less likely than not that he will end up back in Lexington, but UK. No, that he will not end up in Lexington. Excuse me. UK at least on the list. Jackson Robinson, another guy out there. 6'7", he led BYU in scoring as well, would be another one of those movers. Now, I brought up this list, and it's why I thought the Amari Williams commitment really mattered, because everyone else either played for him at BYU or is a transfer from the state of Utah. Now, part of that is just familiarity from coaching out there, right, and guys being familiar with his system, what have you.
Sure.
But I thought Amari Williams, at least being outside of that bubble, could get them going with some momentum. But, boy, I wonder if they just feel handcuffed right now to have to just go get kids that they're already sort of familiar with. The other names that came up, Dillingham is gone. Justin Edwards, still ranked in the top round of the draft, especially this year. I think someone will take a flyer on him in the first round. Aaron Bradshaw, obviously, is going to Ohio State. Zvonimir Ivicic is off to Arkansas. Joey Hart is going to Ball State. By the way, I was thinking about Joey Hart the other day. If he were transferring in from Ball State, I think he'd be getting a bunch of buzz.
Oh, sure he would.
Right, a bunch of buzz.
Yeah.
But going the other way looks different. Number 48 overall, the latest mock, is a guy named DJ Wagner. I do not think he goes to Arkansas, but I think he's also probably not going to Kentucky. Interested to see where DJ ends up.
You think he goes
to
the NBA?
I don't know. I've really tried to think about where he would fit the best as far as a college team next year. And
probably Arkansas.
I don't know, man. I think Cal just wants to start over with new dudes. I think he just
wants you're not seeing a lot of, outside of Big Z, you're not seeing a whole lot of Kentucky guys. Yeah,
those two guys
there.
Are absolutely. Texture of Brock gets an NIL deal with Zinn, then I'll become a Kentucky fan.
That's a walking Zinn endorsement right already, there.
Well, they don't need him to endorse it. He just looks like it.
He just looks
like see, I can't read that one, but it has a good behind the Moby Dick end of the joke. Can't read that.
Does Kentucky have Joe Dirt playing quarterback?
I like the guy. I'm in, man. I like it.
I'm all in.
I'm all in on Vandegrift, dude.
You look like that. I'm all in.
I'm in. Let's go. Football's such a weird sport, man, because you still get those guys. And just like, you know what their politics are. You just know.
Of course.
You know. And then they're throwing to wide receivers. It's one of the best things about football. I love it, man. But just, I'm hoping this article, by the time we talk to Ben on Thursday, includes guys that didn't just play in the state of Utah last year.
Yeah.
That we start to see a little bit more east of, oh man, DJ Wagner to LSU to replace Haley. That's a good time. I don't think he's as good as that. He's good,
man, we had a fun 10 minutes where we thought it was going to be Haley Van Lith and Haley Cavender on the same team. Man.
That was a good 10 minutes. TCU. God, she's just a mercenary at this point.
And
not a good one.
Haley Cavender's like, I'm just going to go back to Miami.
I'm going back. Oh, man. But there you go. Colin Chandler, Amari Williams, and a bunch of dudes. So there you go. I guess the name to watch on that list, of course, is Great Osabor, just as he's the guy from outside of their immediate bubble, if you will. So interested to see if he ends up there.
Do you see the Jets won a playoff game? That's hockey.
The Winnipeg Jets?
The Winnipeg Jets.
How about that?
Not the New York Jets. But they scored 7 points, which the New York Jets struggled to do a lot of times last year.
In your face, Iowa football. 7-6 game.
So who on? Yeah,
Kirk Ferentz is all turned on.
Iowa Northwestern. Let's go.
Stoops is like 7-6. Where? Yeah. Where?
That's an 11 a.m. kickoff in Evanston.
It's so true.
Corso puts Brutus Buckeye on, and now it's time for Iowa Northwestern.
It's 28 degrees here in Minneapolis for an 11 a.m. kickoff.
Football.
Oh, man, it's so bad. Oh, it's so bad. God, oh, man.
That's a Big Ten Network game, by the way.
Oh, man. Well, thank God for these NBA playoffs giving me something to do on a Monday night. I'll tell you what, man. Let's pick these games, by the way. We didn't do that the
yeah, let's do it.
Previous segment, so let's get into it tonight.
Okay.
Cavs hosting the Magic. Cavs are only a 5.5-point favorite in this one. Cavs, of course, lead the series 1-0. Who you got in Cavs. This one? Do they cover?
Yes.
Okay. Go to the Knicks game. I tend to agree with you, man. I might I'm probably gonna parlay these games, I think is how I'm gonna end up playing it. Knicks at home against the 76ers. $247 get-in price, man, for the Knicks and 76ers.
Right.
Sounds right for Madison Square Garden. Another 5.5-point spread here for the Knicks. Who you got?
I am going to take the Sixers to bounce back.
Nice. If they're going to win one, it's going to be this one.
That, right? It has yeah. 6-7 games written all over, and if that's going to happen, then the Sixers have to win tonight.
Texter Louis, I've concluded baseball is boring. I used to love it. Not sure what happened. You grew up.
That's right. It's like WWE. Except WWE is actually more entertaining than baseball.
Yikes. Nuggets, Lakers. Nuggets are 7.5-point favorite.
I would pick the Lakers to cover, but I think the Nuggets win.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. My favorite parlays in those games are just double-doubles for Jokic and LeBron. Because
that's happening.
Very likely to hit both of those. I caught one the other day. DraftKings had a promo. Those two combining to score 50 points.
That's it?
That's all they had to do, and they gave you a boost.
That's easy.
I could put 10
free
bucks
money.
On that. Yeah, I could put 10 bucks on that. That's pretty.
Somebody had a really bad beat yesterday. They had Damian Lillard over 35.5 points. Mm. Damian Lillard scored 35 points in the first half and then didn't score in the second half because he barely played because they were up by a billion.
That's gambling, folks. There you go. All right, well, I hear music, and it means it's time to get out of here. Again, want to thank Chick-fil-A for bringing lunch by the studio, Bardstown Road, and the Stony Brook locations for all of the catering ahead of the Kentucky Derby here. I'm Louis Rabeau. Zach Cantrell, other side of the glass, will be back tomorrow at 10 o'clock out at Jay Shepherd Cigars, hanging out with everybody. So if you want to come grab your sticks ahead of Derby Week, come see us tomorrow, 10 to noon, over there on Bardstown Road. We'll be back at 10. We'll be doing the damn thing. You'd better be here, too. Have a great day, everybody.